worship you.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Thank you, Michael. You have your Bibles with you. Let me see. You got your Bibles? All right. Love to see that. We're in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're continuing to study Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, a church that he really loved deeply. They loved Paul, and they were real concerned about him. They had heard that Paul had been arrested and put in prison in Rome, and so they gave Epaphroditus some money and told him to take it to Paul so he would have some resources. And more importantly, they were to bring back some news about how Paul was doing. And so that's what we're going to kind of look at today in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to begin looking at it in verse 12. What they wanted to know was, how was Paul doing chained for the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, people react differently to the same kinds of circumstances. Some people choose to live above the circumstances, and others choose to live under the circumstances. Haven't you heard that? How you doing? And someone will say, well, under the circumstances. And then they go on to tell you, but, and my answer to that is, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? We shouldn't be under those circumstances. And Paul's going to tell us that it all depends on the way we look at our circumstances to how we live. Folks, our circumstances are never going to be ideal. They never will be.
Amen.
I can't promise you a perfect, carefree life, and no preacher worth his salt should be able to do that. Because life's not perfect. And circumstances are never ideal. They just aren't. So we need to look at a new way to look at life. And no one modeled that better than the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to look at Paul's chain reaction today. Now, Paul's desire was that one day he would be able to preach in Rome. He said, when he wrote to the church at Rome, he said in chapter 1, verse 10, always in my prayers, requesting if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I will succeed in coming to you. He really wanted to go to Rome. In fact, I can, and this is just me, I'm supposing he probably had it all planned out, his route, the way he was going to go and everything like that. But God had a different plan. Yeah. Isn't that the way it works, kind of, folks? We have our own plans, we make our own ideas, and then God just directs us someplace else. And God's plan was to have Paul arrested, gave him a prepaid ticket to Rome. He was a political prisoner. He was thrown in jail. He was chained to palace guards, and they would change every 4 hours. Can you imagine trying to get any sleep that way? Now, if anybody had the right to have a pity party, it was the Apostle Paul. Because his circumstances, let me give you the Greek word, stunk. They really did. But Paul doesn't see himself as a man in chains. He sees himself ultimately as a man in Christ. And that's why some people can live above the circumstances that other people live under. They focus on Christ instead of the chains. Folks, we all deal with chains, don't we? Every one of us, there are chains in our life. There are circumstances that either inhibit us or prohibit us from doing everything we want to do, going everywhere we want to go. I mean, if nothing, this last year with COVID, do you realize that this is the 1 year anniversary of the shutdown of our society? 1 year. Boy, I hope 2020 never comes again. Wait a minute, it won't. Some people are dealing with diseases and illnesses, and it has changed their lifestyles. Some are dealing with financial uncertainty. They've lost their job, or they're getting ready to lose their job. You see, chains are a part of life. They really are. So how are we going to react to our chains? The things that happen in our lives. Are we going to see ourselves as people in chains, or are we going to see ourselves as people in Christ? Back in verse 4, Paul said, every prayer that I pray, I make request with joy. Now remember, Paul's in prison. Every request I make with joy, he said. So why could Paul, who was in prison, be full of such joy and full of such optimism? Well, he's going to give us a new perspective, a new direction on our chains. When he wrote to the church at Colossae, he said, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven and not about the things on the earth." So I want this morning want to look at what Paul saw and the way Paul saw it. Even though he was in chains, folks, you can't chain the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot do it. You see, the church wanted to know how Paul was doing, but when Paul wrote back to him, he didn't tell them how he was doing. He told them how the gospel was doing. And even though Paul was in chains, the gospel was still going on. So let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul said, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Wait, what? It has advanced the gospel? Yeah, it has. He said, "Because I'm in prison, the story of Christianity is being talked about all over the city." Verse 13, he said, "As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Amen. Now, who were those palace guards? Well, the Roman army had a special group of soldiers, the finest in the regiment. They were called the Praetorian Guard. And they were the ones who were responsible to guard Caesar, and anyone who was going to be before Caesar, they guarded. So how did the gospel get into Caesar's house? Well, Paul was preaching to the guards every single day, for 2 years, 24 hours a day. Their soldiers were guarding him. So as a different soldier would take their turn guarding him, they would hear the conversations, because Paul wasn't completely bound up. He had visitors and things, and those guards would hear Paul as he would share the gospel with those visitors. And as the soldiers would rotate, you know, one would come in, the other one would go out. "How's everything going?" "Yeah, well, it's going all right. Good luck with what you're about to run into here." And so for four hours, this guy's chained to the Apostle Paul. I can just see it now. He comes in, he gets chained. Paul goes, "Hey, how you doing? Let's sing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Hey, by the way, have you heard about Jesus? You know, he died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven and he lives in our hearts, and anybody that wants to trust him, he'll forgive their sins." Can you imagine that? Who's chained to who? Right? I mean, the Apostle Paul has got him right where he wants them. Verse 14, he says, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel." That's amazing. I mean, he even rejoices that the gospel is being preached by some people whose attitudes were less than noble. Look at verse 15. It says, "It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives." And then verse 17, "Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me." Now, folks, these guys aren't anti-Christ. They're anti-Paul. And they are anti-Paul with a vengeance. I mean, it was really rough. So they go out with some pretty lousy attitudes and preach the gospel. But Paul doesn't condemn them for what they're preaching. He condemns them for their attitude and what they were doing. But I will say this. Whoever shares the gospel is not important. It really isn't. As long as it's shared correctly. As long as they're saying what the gospel is. So people can believe the truth and be saved. I mean, that's what the gospel is. The message preached matters more than the person who's preaching the message. Look at verse 18. But that doesn't matter, Paul said. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. Now remember, where's Paul, folks? He's in prison. He's chained to these guards, but he's going to rejoice. He's going to and continue to rejoice. Folks, the gospel is so strong, it can't be chained by mixed motives of those who proclaim it. It can't. The gospel of God is so strong that even when the preacher has a bad attitude, the gospel will accomplish its goal.
Amen.
All the way back in Isaiah chapter 55, God said, "My word goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return empty. It will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it." That's amazing. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Wait a minute. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I wonder, could God do the same thing with our chains? Could he? Could God take an illness or a loss of a job or a broken family and use those chains to get the gospel into somebody else's heart? You see, you can throw the messenger in jail, but you can't jail the message. It won't be jailed. Satan doesn't have a chain strong enough to bind the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one can chain the gospel. And you know what else? No one can chain the Lord Jesus. They can't. Verse 19, Paul said, "But I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." Now, in other words, Paul's saying, Jesus promised that if I go into all the world, he'd be with me till the end of the age. And I know that no matter what happens, Jesus is going to be there to help me. Now, how's he going to help him? Well, he goes on to say, through your prayers, Jesus is going to help. Paul knew the presence of the Holy Spirit would help him bear witness to his faith. In fact, he remembered Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 13. He said, "Whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, don't worry because beforehand about what you're to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And likewise, when we're tested in our faith, and we're on trial for what we believe, and as Pastor Bill just said not too long ago, that time's coming, folks. I have said to many of you, and I'll say to you collectively, if they march in here one day and say, "Stop preaching the gospel or we're putting you in jail," I'm going to go like this. Yeah, because I'm a preaching, and on the way out, I'm going to say, "Hey, you know about Jesus? He died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he'll forgive you sins if you want him to." See, so I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. But until then, we're just going to stand for the truth of the Word of God. So he said he's going to give him help. What kind of help is he going to give him? The kind of help he needed, right? Who knows what kind of help it was at that point, but it was what he needed. And we can count on the Holy Spirit to strengthen our life. You see, God sustains us in our chains through the Holy Spirit. And Paul was going through a test, and he's going to be on trial, and he wants the church to pray for him, to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus would give him the help that he needs. Folks, we need to be praying for Christians. Amen. We really do. We started this morning, and that's a great start. But not just here on Sunday morning. It ought to be an everyday kind of prayer life. We ought to be praying every day for the Christians who are being persecuted, for the Christians across this nation who are standing up for the Word of God. Just think about it. Where can you go? What jail cell could you possibly be in? What hospital room, what courtroom can we be where prayers and the Holy Spirit aren't? They're everywhere. You know, that's like when they said they took prayer out of school. No, they didn't. They took vocal prayer out of school, but they sure enough didn't take prayer out of school. Because I know students who pray all the time. These young ladies pray all the time. Boy, did I put you guys on the spot, didn't I? So you can't chain the gospel of Jesus, and you can't chain the Lord Jesus. And thirdly, you can't chain the glory of Jesus. Verse 20 says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. In other words, Paul said, listen, folks, my passion is to exalt Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that anybody can do that's going to keep me from exalting the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but one thing I'm certain of, no matter what happens, I'm going to honor the Lord Jesus. Jesus is going to receive glory. He is going to be exalted. And in the same way, there is not a chain on earth that can keep us from being a vehicle to give glory to God. There's no way to stop us. Nothing can chain the gospel. Nothing can chain the Lord Jesus. Nothing can chain His glory. See, folks, the real challenge in Christianity isn't eliminating the hard circumstances in our lives. I can't do that. I can't promise that if that would happen for you. And if any preacher has ever promised you that if you became a Christian, your life would become ideal and all the hard places would go away, liar, liar, liar. That was an alert, by the way. Because the real test of Christianity isn't to eliminate the hard circumstances in our lives. It's to live above the circumstances in our lives. Folks, we're not victors. We are victors. Paul told the church in Corinth, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We aren't people in chains. We are people in Christ. And as we keep our focus on Him, we're not going to lose our joy. And even if we lose everything else, we can't lose the Lord Jesus. Remember, didn't He say, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this? Folks, we all deal with chains. Physical chains, financial chains, emotional chains, spiritual chains. Chains are a part of life. So I guess the question is, how do we want to react to the chains in our life? Are we going to see ourselves as somebody who's bound by their chains, or someone who's been set free by the Lord Jesus? He said in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Nothing can chain the gospel. Nothing can change the glory of Jesus, chain the glory of Jesus. We need to see that God has put us where we are. Believe that God will use us where we are. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray.